It's all going to be fine. Thank you. I am very honored with this song. This song has been made during the Feast of Booths that the Christian Embassy has prepared. We were there as well. And that is a place where the Jews and the Arabs come and sing for God. And that is only possible through Jesus our Lord. I would like to think about the theme, why Jerusalem and why Israel? I can imagine that you think, is that really possible? Is that really necessary? You can't open the newspaper and it's about Israel or any news program or it's about Israel. Do we have to start talking about Israel in our congregation? Nobody wants to talk about Israel because Hamas is already fighting for over a year. Hezbollah is ready to wipe Israel off the map. Iran has spayed millions of dollars of oil to kill Israel and to lose it with the atomic bomb. The European Union is very divided. There are a lot of resolutions against Israel. And if you think it's only in the Middle East, 2 weeks ago we saw in Amsterdam that we found the anti-Semitism. And in the city with the most churches, Apeldoorn, you can find stickers, Jews, free of Jews. And why do we really need to talk about this? It would have been so nice to go to heaven and that I have a nice celebration. And after this church, in my own friends with my own bubble, have some coffee. But I already was triggered with two songs from the worship. The first one was, we are not on the sidelines. Did you know the Bible says, if we believe in Jesus, we have to understand about Jesus, and if you don't believe in Jesus, we might as well quit. 10 people singing, praising and God, and that God can speak to us within our heart. But why Israel? Well, the first song, we are not on the sidelines. The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 13, through faith in Jesus, we are children of Abraham. And in Romans 11, it says that we are through the faith, we are indented in the olive branch of Israel. When we are baptized these days, we often are, the story is, it's nice that you're part of it. And when I was baptized, it used to be welcome in the fight. That we are ready and we are prepared for the fight. We all sang it. Now let me show you using God's word so that we know what time it is in God's clock. We are going to look at a number of texts, the calling of Abraham, that we became children of Abraham. Let's know what God promised Abraham. Genesis 12, where God promises Abraham two things. The first three verses. And the Lord had said to Abraham, we are talking about God himself. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Thus far. This is the English translation, and we are happy with it. Otherwise, 99% of us couldn't have read the text. But what says, I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. So it's very clear. God promises here two things. A land and a people. And in Genesis, he repeats 10 times that he promises Abraham a land and a people. And when those two people come together, once God's promises are fulfilled, then they will be a blessing for the people. God doesn't give an assignment if he doesn't give you what you need to complete the assignment. But God says two chapters on, once he makes a covenant with Abraham and he says, I will give you a land and people, he says, but pay attention, Abraham, but your generations will be in Egypt for 4,000 years, and after that they will leave Egypt. After 400 years, after Israel was in the country for the first time. So God had two promises, a land and a country, and you think, amen, nice for them. But what does it have to do with us? But the first time that Israel was in the country, which blessing did we get? We got God's word. Through 40 Jewish people wrote God's word. Not a Dutch person was included. The Bible is filled with things about Israel, and they are written for us to be an example for us, because Israel did not always do what God's word said. As far as that's concerned, they looked a lot like us. And then God said, then I will put you in a dugout for 70 years in the country of Babel. But God is faithful. After 70 years, they come back. And the second time that God kept his promises that the country and the people were together, they say, amen, great, nice for them. But what does it do for us? Which blessing did the world get once Israel was in the country for a second time? It took 400 years. 400 years between the last prophet and when Jesus came. And yesterday I was in a church meeting and I really needed to think about what he said. Jesus was not a Christian and Maria was not a Catholic. And I really needed to think about that. But it's true. Jesus was Yeshua and he was Jewish. And Maria was Miriam and she was also Jewish. We kind of stole their identity. When Israel came back to the country in the second time, for 400 years, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, but Jesus is actually the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But the Aleph is also number one. And who is our number one? He showed us. He is the first to be raised out of the dead. That's why he is our first. He is also the last one, and he is the last letter in the alphabet. What used to be a cross was 400. So when the timing is full, then he says, out of Egypt, the Pharaoh had to leave the Jewish left Egypt, and the cloud went behind them. And who is the rock? And after 400 years, the second blessing, we got God's Son. And God's Spirit, we have received all. We have received all blessings: God's Word, God's Son, and God's Spirit. This is our introduction. After the year 70, the temple was destroyed. And Israel was dispersed over the nations. After 2,000 years, Israel is back in the country. Everybody in this country knows that Israel is full with their people. We read about there's nobody in the world that hasn't heard of Israel. And now that Israel had come back for the third and the last time, nice for them. But nobody is happy with it. All these people are trying to eliminate them. And now the question is, what is the third blessing that Israel will bring us? There's only one blessing left, and that's why the whole world is in turmoil. Why is everything so restless? Why is the church so quiet? Because Jesus is coming. It is a great blessing. And that's why it's important to know what time it is in God's clock. The Pharisees had asked Jesus for a sign. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting to desire that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered, When it is evening, yea, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather, to the day is red and lowering. Now we are going to look at the signs. You know how to interpret the signs of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Let's look at Luke 17 so that we are prepared for the signs of God, that we are prepared. And there you can find in Luke 17, verse 25. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Yeah, what was wrong with that? Just eating and drinking, it's a normal thing. Getting married, well, be happy they married in that time. What's the problem? And why was the ark a sign? Because God said, and we can read that in Genesis, that the fallen angels were having children with the people of men. And the angels of God had children with people of men, and the only thing they did was curse people. Goliath was also Goliath was also a child of an angel and a human, and they only curse God all day. And if you spiritually are spiritually down, then you cannot fight for God and you cannot think clearly. Goliath had Goliath had five brothers, and David believed in God and he had power over Goliath. Why did Noah have to build an ark? It was prepared for thousands of years with Methuselah. In the time of Methuselah, they didn't have a Bible, but Methuselah was a living witness because his name means, when I die, it will happen. And he died in the year of the flood. Noah had to built an ark in the middle of a field. People thought he was mad. And people asked him, why are you doing that? And he could witness. It was a sign that God is going to do something. Israel is the sign today that God is going to do something. In Luke 17, you can keep reading about it. It was in the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. You know what the problem is? In the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was an over sect situation. How can anyone keep clean? Because everything is unclean. Sexuality has killed the Greek dynasty, has killed the Roman dynasty, and we are all crumbling because of the over-sexuality in our culture. Think of Lot's wife. Think of her. On verse 12, remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will preserve it. The lady was not focused on God's rescue, but she was focused on the life she had behind her. I was just talking about the baptism. If you haven't split off of your old life, then you are not going to be able to save yourself. She listened to it, but actually she just wanted her old life. Now we go to Luke 21, and there we will see where it says. I'm not sure where he read this from, so I'm going to look it up. He says, pay attention to the fig tree, Luke 21. And in Luke 21, so Jesus says in Luke 21, look at the fig tree and all the trees. The fig tree was known for its healing powers in the Old Testament. If you look at the story of Hezekiah, where he also was asked to put figs on his eyes and he would be healed. So we need to pay attention as to the fig tree and the other trees. In 1517, 400 years till the First World War, the Arab Caliphate was started. All of the countries in the Middle East became independent countries. Then we got Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Lebanon. They were trees. They were new trees. Pay attention to the fig tree, which is Israel, and the other countries. And if you see that there is a tree and other trees, those are the other countries, then you know that summer is near. Let's look at Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, Jesus is with his apostles on the Mountain of Olives, and there it's Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it will be destroyed until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You can see that in Matthew 21, verse 39. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So once Israel is restored a third time, I will come back as a Messiah, son of David, to sit on the throne of his father David, and then there will be peace in the whole earth. Up till then, there will be a lot of warfare. Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came, and through me, I fight. And our question is, on whose side are you on? The people of the world shall fight against Jerusalem. I will put it down here in the midst of you all. What do we see? Would that be a sign, a first round, of where the people, just on the night of the Crystal Remembrance Day, with the pogroms, that situation happened in Amsterdam in 1939, the Kristallnacht was the night that the Jews were clear that the Jews were set apart, just like 2 weeks ago the Jews were set apart. We sang the song that we are not on the sidelines. We are live in the same house, we live in the same society, and we are also the people that inherit. Do you know what it says in the Hamas and in the Hezbollah and from Iran? What does it say? We first pick the people from the Saturday, and then we get the people from the Sunday. The people of the Saturday are, of course, the Jews, and the people of the Sunday are us. So don't think it's only going to stay by Jews. We do mission work, you know that. Did you know that Iran also does missions work? Because they have one thing they really know. They know that in 25 years, there's not going to be any oil. So all of the oil they're going to use is to make a new faith. They want to bring the jihad to Europe. They don't really care about Israel. Do you know who the big Satan is? America and the Western world. And we let Israel work it. The Jews fight for the Jewish Christian values of life. There are 101 hostages, and we don't know how many of them are alive. It's a lot easier for Israel just to pump the tunnels full of water and you are done. But they don't do that, because then they also perhaps kill the people that are hostage. Israel fights for life. The enemy knows very well what time it is in God's clock, because that whole story, Free Palestine from the river to the sea, that is not a solution. That is not peace for Israel. What it means is Israel needs to go. And if it works to lose Israel, then Jesus cannot come back. That's how easy it is. Where shall his foot stand? In Drilton. No, unfortunately, no. It's not going me, myself. Big things are going to happen. It's not only there. It's also in Amsterdam. and it will also come to Drunten. Do you really think it's not here? The hate against God. Once the world is in darkness, since this, the world hates God. And you can also try to kill God, but that's not going to work. So then if you can't get God in heaven, you're going to we are going against God. Everything that has God's plan in this world and Israel and us together is going to be fought against. So welcome in the struggle. Welcome in the war. Do you think this is going to be gone tomorrow? Welcome to the conflict. We were there just before it happened, and I just came back. And you know why? Now we went with a Gideon's band. We used to go with 7,000, and now we only went with 500. We have more impact. We only came with 500 people. But everybody wonders, what are you doing here? Did you not know we were at war? Yes, we do. And when they ask us what we're doing here, then you can witness. Since the 7th and 8th of November, everything that happened in Amsterdam, we made a statement. We got 15,000 signatures. We handed it to the king at the right time, that the Oprah Rabin was there with him to talk, and he can be telling there for his rabbi, can be talking there for the Jews, but us as Christians came to support them and to came them and show them they are not alone. Exactly at the perfect timing, the minister president and also in the second chamber, they had to come. And there it was talked to the embassy, and they were all very sad and upset because the International Criminal Code had asked for Netanyahu, and that is going to go, and the media is the biggest enemy, is the biggest conflict. Israel is fighting 8 fights, and the media is the hardest one because they cannot grab the media. They cannot fight them. 15,000 people signed it, and we showed them, we support you. Not that they do everything right. That's why we pray for God's merciful and peace and God's wisdom be blessed over their country. We are going to pray for Israel, and we're going to pray for the Middle East, and we are also going to pray for Israel. Even in the Middle East, did you know that in Iran, 9 million people are Christian, and you're not allowed to do anything. Everything is down, and God continues to work in Iran, in Lebanon, through all of this. Nobody's looking. We have an army every house in Lebanon has a cannon. And now that Israel is there, the Christians in Lebanon are getting power. Lebanon used to be a Christian country. 40% of them were Christian. But they also live under the terror of Hezbollah. So Israel doesn't want Lebanon. The king of Lebanon built the temple with Solomon. They did build the temple together. Did you know the Bible said in Isaiah 25, there will be a path. You can read it in Isaiah 25. And a lot of churches, I am not welcome, because they don't want to talk about Israel in their churches. Many people don't want me to speak. We are trying to keep things organized. Please don't start discussing Israel in our churches. We are trying to keep our members. As soon as Jesus returns, I don't say if Jesus returns, I said when he returns, then he will ask the people, the countries, to come toward him. And they will be divided like sheep and goats. And do you know why he's going to separate the people? It's not about your life or who you are. That is in the life of Jesus. The people will be divided between if you are. Joel 3, you can find the story. How we treated the country of Israel and the people of Israel. The choice is yours, and it is good to pray that you know what time it is on God's clock, because I think this is a pre-fight for the real conflict. We see everything that's going to happen. It can get nuts, so we need to feed ourselves with the Word of God so we know what time it is, and also that we may lift our heads high. Psalm 2, it says, why are the people so? Because God's enemy is ready to fight. They all want Israel to go because they know once Jesus is gone, once Israel is gone and Jesus can't, they want Jesus to come. And once Jesus comes, then we will be freed. And that's what everyone is afraid of. And that's why the countries are fighting against Israel, because they want to stop Jesus from coming. And when you are in a difficult situation, lift your head on high and look up, because your redemption is at hand. We are going to pray for this together because we need God's Spirit for this. Let's first sing the beautiful song of Jerusalem.